Hello and welcome to Discovery Real Time's Essential Fishing Skills with me, Matt Hayes. This is the fourth podcast in the series, and we're going to concentrate on some of the essential skills of fishing. So it doesn't really matter whether you're a newcomer to the sport, whether you've already done a bit of fishing, you're a semi-experienced angler, there's definitely going to be something in this podcast for you. And let me also say, before we get into the meat of things, that we've got a website, and on that website, you'll find a host of information. Now, the website address is realtimetv.co.uk/fishing. That's realtimetv.co.uk/fishing. And on there, you'll find all sorts of things. First of all, you'll find technical information that will back up the podcast. You'll also find a list of over 3,000 fisheries that we've assembled for you. So wherever you live in the country, there'll always be somewhere for you to go fishing. And you'll even find useful information like how to buy your rod license online, how to obtain one, what the rules are and regulations governing fishing in this country. So don't forget to check out the website. To guide me through this podcast, I've got a couple of my fishing mates here. I've got Ed Brown from Furness Mill Fishery. I've got Stuart Allen with me, a guy I've fished with for many, many years. And this time around, boys, we're here to talk about bait. Now, bait is an obsessive thing for anglers, isn't it? I mean, we're all obsessed with finding the magical bait that's going to produce a fish every chuck, and we never quite seem to find it. But of course, when you're new to fishing, there's such a bewildering array of baits, Ed. I mean, there are literally thousands. You run a very busy day ticket fishery, the sort of place where people are going to go and fish time and time again, and especially newcomers. What are the best baits at your fishery?
The best baits really are things like simple maggots, sweet corn, pellets and worms. Just the simple average baits that everybody knows, really. For instant fishing, people tend to use pellets nowadays because they can be kept week in, week out. You don't need to sort of keep them fresh, as like maggots, live stuff in the fridge, which your missus might not be too happy about.
No, quite. I think we've all got some horror stories about maggots.
Quite a few. But no, pellets, corn, maggots, that sort of thing.
So if you were going to go fishing for the first time to your typical day ticket commercial fishery, you'd use pellets, you'd use sweet corn, you'd probably take some maggots, and you might have some worms. And with that lot, you can pretty well catch everything that's in the water, can't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we've got a wonderful competition for you this time around, and we're actually giving you the chance to win some of Dynamite Bait's latest fishing products under the Silver X range. More of that later on, and of course, further details on the website. We'll come back to that. And talking about Dynamite Bait, Stu, I mean, if you go back sort of 20 years, none of this stuff was around, was it?
No, Matt. You'd be looking in fishing magazines for recipes and how to make your own designer baits yourselves, because you had to make do with the basic ingredients and make your own baits, bake your own boilies, make your own pastes, that sort of thing. That was a very innovative time during the 1960s and the 1970s when all of that was going on. Of course, nowadays, all of this stuff is available to us through our local tackle dealers.
But that's not to say that you can't catch fish on the old standby baits. I mean, if you were restricted to one bait for the rest of your fishing life, what would it be?
I think I'd agree with the late Billy Lane when he was asked the same question, Matt, which it was a worm. The humble worm will catch just about everything that swims in fresh water, from a gudgeon to a salmon.
Mm. Yeah, and what about you, Ed? Would you go along with a worm?
Yeah, I'd go along with worm. Yeah, I think maybe there's hardly a fish actually anywhere in the country that can resist a good old-fashioned bread either.
Yeah.
I mean, I've fished all over the world, and if you're sitting on there on your holidays, bit of bread from the local supermarket, it'll catch you most things.
Just talking about worms, I mean, that is the universal bait, isn't it? Because you can dig it up out the garden, but there's different types of worms, aren't there?
There are, yeah. There's the big sort of lob worms and the smaller red worms, dendrobenas and things, which is popular with the sort of commercial fisheries.
Now, you can buy those in tackle shops.
You can.
Red worms, which is the smaller variety. I mean, the lob worm, what we call the lob worm, it's a big garden earthworm. So basically, you need to get your fork out or go out on your lawn at night to collect. Perhaps we'll touch on that in a minute, but you can dig worms up. Red worms, you collect them from a compost heap, don't you?
You do, yeah. You know, most people have got a sort of compost heap somewhere in the garden, and the worms breed very readily in there. they're a great bait. You can't knock a worm.
Now, this thing, Stu, about collecting worms, this is a peculiar thing. You must have done this. Just describe to people one of the alternative ways to catch worms.
Well, you might get some strange looks from the neighbours, but I find the most successful way to do it is actually to go out at night on a wet night with a torch. And actually, you can see the worms as they'll be lying on the grass, usually just half exposed. The tail of the worm is still stuck in the ground, and you've got to move creep up on them and then move very quickly, stick your thumb over the hole where the worm's body is disappearing into the ground, and then get hold of the worm and wait for its muscle contraction to finish before you pull it out of the ground.
So you don't pull it out?
No, you'll break the worm.
Yeah.
You've got to hold it and you'll feel it relax out. And eventually it'll pop out. But you will get some odd looks from the neighbours who probably think you're up to no good.
Yes, I think we've all had that, then what's going on here? I've actually been pulled over in the middle of the night by the police for collecting worms off the local bowling green. And, of course, when they found out what I was doing, they thought it was very funny. But, worms, terrific bait. Ed's already mentioned the baits that he would recommend. So if you go onto the website, then you'll find details about the baits that Ed has mentioned, our checklist of baits for your first visit to the water. And they are baits that will catch lots and lots of fish. Now, while we're on the subject of baits, we can't ignore feeding. In a short while, I'm going to go outside and actually do some fishing. And I'm going to try and kind of talk you through this. But to get fish biting, Ed, you have to feed bait into the swim, don't you?
Yeah. Most times.
You do, yeah.
What's the common mistakes you see people making?
There's various mistakes. The most common one would be people introducing large amounts of baits initially and then sitting on it for the rest of the day and not introducing any more bait. And that can work a different way. Sometimes you need to build the swim up quite instantly and put a lot of bait in, but you still need to keep topping it up. The most successful way to put large bags of fish together on a sort of commercial type fishery is generally feed sort of little and often. And what you're trying to do is get the fish to compete for the bait. So they're not filling themselves up quite. They're still hungry and you're just teasing them a little bit. And they become very sort of competitive for the bait.
Yeah.
So you're talking about effectively, rather than, let's say you've got a bag of pellets, what you're saying is don't throw them all in at the start and not put any more in, throw in perhaps a handful and then just keep perhaps a third or a quarter of a handful going in perhaps every minute or two, yeah, so that you're introducing bait through the swim regularly and building it up rather than going for the all or nothing approach.
Absolutely. The other way to look at it is if you've got, say, 30 kids in front of you, and you chuck them 10 sweets, they're all going to pile in and fight over those sort of sweets. So it's the same with the fish. You can keep them coming into the swim by bait constantly trickling through. So not everyone gets the opportunity to get one straight away.
Yes, I mean, I like the analogy of the kids, because if you imagine a classroom with 30 kids in it and you threw 200 sweets there, there'd be a bit of a mad dash, but then they'd all discover they could get a sweet quite easily. Whereas if you threw them a couple of sweets at a time, you'd have a fight going on for about 3 hours. And that's the way to think about how to get fish to compete. Well, I think the best thing that we can do now is actually go outside and do a little bit of feeding in the swim and see how fish react to the bait that I feed them. We're here at the Watermark Fishery in the Cotswolds. We've got a lovely pool outside. It's stuffed full of carp. And I can't wait to get started. Well, I'm outside now at the Watermark Fishery. I've got Ed with me and I've got my kit all set up. I'm pretty well ready to start fishing. One of the things I've got to do, of course, is to feed the swim. So let's just have a look at the bait I've got here with me. And on Ed's recommendation, I've brought along one of the best baits of the lot, which is actually pellets. For feed, Ed, I've got these lovely pellets here. These are 3mm marine halibut pellets. Do you think these are any good?
Oh, they're great. Yeah, fish love them.
Nice fishy smelling bait. Tiny little pellet shape. They're basically made out of compressed fish meals, effectively. And fish just love to eat them. They're real cannibals. Now, what would you advise me to do with these, Ed? Because I've got some soft pellets to put on the hook, which are slightly bigger. They're a more hook-friendly size. But with these small pellets, I need to throw a few of these in to get the fish feeding, don't I?
Yeah, pick your spot. You've plumbed the depth up. You know where you're going to be fishing. Introduce the pellets into that area.
get the fish feeding and competing for those pellets that are going in, and then they'll hopefully jump on your hook pellet.
But how many should I put in at the start, Ed? I've got a big bag of them here.
Maybe just feed a couple of small handfuls in to start with, and yeah, then keep topping up the swim gradually. So you're not feeding the fish up too much to start with. They're competing for that bait.
Yeah, OK. Well, the great thing is here, and I'd advise you to do this if you go to a commercial fishery, I'm only fishing about a rod length out. It's a nice, comfortable range to fish. I'm going to catch plenty of fish there, so I can feed by hand. I don't even need a catapult. And I've got in my hand now, it's not a handful, but I've got probably about a third of a handful of pellets, and I'm now going to just throw them into the water. So Ed reckons a couple of handfuls, I'd go along with that. There they are in the swim. Now, of course, having done that, I need to bait my hook. And I've got, these are terrific hook baits, Ed. I've got some of the Swim Stim soft hook pellets. And they're soft enough to put on your hook, because most pellets are hard. The ones you feed in are hard, and you can't hook them. But these have been made to be soft.
Oh, they're great. You just pass the hook through them, leave a bit of the point showing, and you can strike through the pellet and hook up the fish. It's a great way of doing it.
Right, now, to put the pellet on the hook, I mean, this is quite important, actually. One thing we should say, I'm just holding the pellet now between my thumb and forefinger in my left hand. With my right hand, I'm pushing the hook point into the middle of the pellet and bringing it through so that the point comes out the other side and is actually proud of the bait. You don't want the hook point buried in the bait, do you?
No, that's where a lot of people go wrong, actually, when they hook any type of bait, and in particular pellets, and some of the slightly harder pellets, they bury the point of the hook and you can't set the point into the fish there.
What about sweet corn and things like that, Ed? Same rule?
Same rule, yeah.
Okay, well, I've managed to get that pellet on now, and I'm just casting out into the swim. As I say, I'm not really casting out very far. It's a nice, comfortable range to fish about a rod length from the bank, especially if you've never done this before. And I know it's a range I can catch fish out on most of these commercial waters. You don't have to cast a long way. Now, I've put in two handfuls of pellets, Ed. When should I put some more in, do you think?
I think you should keep every few minutes introducing just a small amount to get the fish sort of fighting over the stuff that's falling in the water. Like we mentioned earlier, it's the scenario of the kids being thrown.
Hang on, Ed, I've got fish on. The float just literally sailed straight away there. It's only a little one, but it's going nuts. Look at this. Here he comes. Hang on. That's a tiny little carp. Do you know, when I was a kid, if I'd caught that, that would have been the highlight of my year.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. It's beautiful. I've got now in my right hand the most beautiful little mirror carp. It is perfect. This fish can grow to weights, believe it or not, in excess of 50 pounds. This one weighs about 3 or 4 ounces. He's got beautiful golden mirror scales. He's a properly formed fish. He's got all of his adult shape and everything, but that is magic in miniature, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Beautiful. It's what we'd say, it looks like a carp, but it's smaller.
Yeah, it is. But it's beautiful. Its scales are perfect. Well, that's a good start. Now, obviously, Ed, there's some small fish in the swim already. I mean, do I just keep feeding and hope to get through to the bigger ones now, do you think?
Yeah, you can keep feeding.
Good idea if you've caught a fish to put some more bait in, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, top up the swim when you've caught. That always works very well. And the beauty about using pellets, they're nice, clean and easy to use. People who aren't sure about handling maggots and worms and live things like that can just grab a packet of pellets and go fishing.
One thing I should ask you, Ed, I'm fishing today with these 3mm marine halibut pellets to feed into the swim. I've also got the soft hook pellets. What other things could you use in the hook? Could you fish alongside the pellets? What else could you put on the hook?
You could put all sorts of things on. At the moment, at our fishery at Furness Mill, feeding the pellets and using sweet corn on the hooks working very well at the moment.
Right, okay. So sweet corn's good. Tiny cubes of luncheon meat, maybe even a pair of maggots, something like that.
Maybe, yeah, worm. You can use anything, but the fish are particularly attracted to pellets, and they're often the sort of fish meal, fishy flavoured smelling pellets.
Oh, hang on, Ed, I've got something a bit bigger on here. Hang on a minute.
Who's got who here?
I don't know what I've got on. Oh. Now, I've just hooked into a fish. I've just lifted the rod tip, and The rod's gone straight over. I don't think it's a massive fish, but it's absolutely tearing up and down the lake with the float jiggling around above the water behind it. I've definitely got something bigger on this time.
I think I should get the net for you.
Yeah, I think this one might be a netter, my son. One thing I should say to you is that with all types of bait, if you're going to use two or three types of bait, remember to feed some of each into the swim. Don't just rely on the pellets. If you're going to use sweet corn on the hook, throw a few grains of corn in as well. If you're going to use maggots on the hook, throw a few maggots in on top of the pellets just to get the fish used to taking them. And here she comes. Now that is a very nice way to end this section. It's a carp about 10 or 12 ounces, much bigger this time. And I'll tell you what, Ed, I think if I keep feeding this swim correctly, I'm going to have a good day.
I'm sure you will.
It's funny, people talk about killer baits. I don't consider myself to be in any way, shape or form an expert fisherman, angler, whatever you want to say. I enjoy it enormously. But when I watch what I would call the real experts, I'm in awe of them. In the same way, when I play cricket, I would be in awe of Brian Lara, and I play golf and I'm in awe of Tiger Woods. I'm in awe of Keith Arthur. How sad is that? I'm in awe of Matt Hayes. I'm in awe of all of these great, you know, Bob Nudd. I'm definitely in awe of him. There's thousands of these great anglers. And when you watch them, they bring a level of expertise that people don't understand is in angling. So for me, unfortunately, my downside is I'm not in their league, nor will I ever will be. And I don't think I'm looking for that type of enjoyment or precision in my angling. I'm more of a convenience angler, I agree. And whilst not necessarily fair weather and whilst I will travel, they're all for a reason other than angling. And angling is a plus, if you follow mine. So if I'm in Mauritius doing the Mauritius Open Golf, I will go fishing, and of course I will have my favourite lures or my favourite strength of line, my favourite boat. If I'm fishing for salmon up in Scotland, I'll have my favourite gilly, never mind my favourite bait, you know, and I'll enjoy that. And I think salmon fishing, when you get one, which is becoming rarer and rarer, gives you a buzz that's unbelievable. But, and this is where you come down to basics, there is still nothing that can compare with my favourite bait. On a summer's day, when you're sitting there with a cup of tea in your hand and you're using the floating crust to lure in big carp, because it's not a bait which you lose touch with. You actually see it. You actually, the soap opera, if you like, the theatre of fishing with floating crust actually plays to a live audience, not something's happening underneath the water. Some delicate piece of ground baiting has achieved the perfect fish. So it's a simplistic way of fishing, but to my mind, it's the most rewarding and certainly the most exciting at the point of take. Floating crust.
My killer bait, I think, would still be the just the ordinary bread, because that's what the carp are going for, and it's just wonderful if you just hook it. It's just a hook on the line, just throw it on top and just wait and attention to see if the carp is actually biting. I think it's an ideal bait, just ordinary bread.
Well, there's a few. I like bread, but I also like hemp with castor. I like castor on top of hemp. I've had very good results, and I love bread as well. A little bit of bread punch, little bits, you know, nothing too big.
There's that many baits on the market. Depends which water I'm fishing on. Right, one bait, what would it be? One bait. I mean, you've got to... Probably would be sweet corn, I'd say. Probably. But then, again, I don't know. I don't know. It's like, you know what it's like when you go fishing. You take, like, you have that many different things and different baits work on different waters. And to be truthful, if I was going to stick with carp fishing and that was going to be solely what I was going to do for the rest of my life, then I would say pepper army.
So before we move swiftly on, if you're confusing your mackerels with your minnows, the fish list at realtimetv.co.uk/fishing is the definitive guide to fish varieties found in British waters. So don't forget to check that out. OK, it's competition time and we've got some fantastic prizes for you. Total Fishing Gear make a wonderful starter kit. That's my own company, so this kit was designed by myself. I'm bound to think it's wonderful, but trust me, folks, it really is. Worth over 70 quid. What have we put in the kit? Well, it's got a superb carbon fibre float rod. We've got a lovely fixed spool reel with a great drag, line to go on the reel, hooks, shots, floats, almost all the kit you need to start fishing, bar a chair, a landing net and a plummet. So a really great start. And there's more. We've got some fantastic bait prizes from Dynamite. This programme has been all about bait, and hope you've been listening carefully, because I'm going to ask you a question about the bait we've been using in a minute. But for the time being, you're going to get the chance to win some of the new Silverex ground bait and liquid bait additives that Dynamite have just launched. It's a brand new range. It's perfect for commercial still waters, the sort of place you'll probably make your first fishing trip on. But of course, to win, you've got to answer a question. Now, to enter the competition, you do have to log on to the website. The address is realtimetv.co.uk/fishing. On there, you'll find the terms and conditions of the competition, along with a closing date for entries. But my friends, you will not find the answer to this question. That is contained in this podcast. So you may have to listen again. Here's the question. Now, during the course of today's fishing, I was fishing with a particular type of bait on the hook. We all know it's pellets, but what type of pellets were they? Were they called A, trout pellets, B, soft pellets, or C, amino hook pellets? Answer that question correctly and you could be one of our lucky winners. There's some great prizes to choose from there. Well, sadly, we've come to the end of the podcast, or almost. Time to thank the boys for being lifelong fishing companions and stalwarts, I thought. Well done, chaps. And, of course, you'll probably want to know more about the Watermark fishery where we've been fishing today. It's rammed with fish, folks. They've got both course and game fishing available here on site, along with tuition. Fabulous range of waters, beautiful place. Check out the details on our website, realtimetv.co.uk/fishing. And you'll also find details there of Furness Mill Fishery, which is a super place if you've never been fishing before, and an even better one if you have. So if you want Ed to keep his beady eye on you on your first fishing trip, check out the details on the website. That's almost all we've got time for. But if this podcast has whetted your appetite, don't forget to tune in for our final instalment in Podcast 5, in which hopefully I hook and play a fish and tell you all about how to do it, that wonderful heart-stopping moment. For those of you who can't even wait that long and want a fishing fix instantly, then you have to go to Discovery Real Time TV. It's the UK's leading broadcaster of fishing programmes, and I should know because I've made about 11 series for them. You'll find Discovery Real Time on cable and satellite TV. It shows many, many, many fishing programmes, and they're all great. It's on Sky, NTL, Telewest and Home Choice. And with that, folks, thank you very much for listening. I'm off to the bank.